commence our service this evening with hymn 392. How oft, alas, this wretched heart has wandered from the Lord. How oft my roving thoughts depart, forgetful of his word. Hymn 392. Together from the book of Joshua and chapter 1. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of battle, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. May the Lord bless his word. Help his servant in prayer.
O thou great, most holy, and eternal Lord God, how we do need thee, dear Lord, to draw near at this evening hour, as thou didst to those that journeyed to Emmaus, that we may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence, both in our hearts and too within these walls. We may prove what the dear hymn writer said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And O Lord, we would come desiring to see no man save Jesus only. O Lord, may our hearts be softened and humbled in the dust. We may be submissive at thy dear feet, desiring to know no will but thine. And O Lord, as we venture to the throne of thy grace. We would come pleading that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, that we may have that sweet access to the Father in and through our precious Jesus. And how we need thee, dear Lord, to intercede for us, to plead on our behalf. O Lord, to come and speak to our souls, that we may hear thy voice. You know, it's how often we have to plead as David did of old. Be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. O Lord, as we venture to thee, we come exactly as we are. One said, nothing but sin I thee can give. But oh, may our favoured lot be, and may we have the sweet assurance that nothing but love shall I receive. Lord, we're not worthy of the least of thy notice, or of thy mercy, or of thy truth. Lord, we would come confessing our many, many sins. For thou hast said, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And O Lord, how we need thee to have mercy upon us. We would come with the publican when he said, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, how we long more and more to know more and more of the taste of thy mercy. That mercy that has brought us again. Mercy that is transportingly sweet. And oh, do come and seal pardon and peace to each sin-sick soul. Oh, do sweetly assure them, Lord, and assure us that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us, that thou hast redeemed us, that we are thine, that thou art ours, that we're in that narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. May we be amongst that favoured few. May the prayer of the dear hymn writer be our fervent petition. With them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt meet the cases of thy dear people. May none be empty sent away. May there be a portion for 7 and also for 8. And may there be those, Lord, lifted up from their cast down state. Lord, there's so much to cast thy children down. And oh, we pray thou wilt come and lift them up. Grant them a lift by the way. Raise their souls above the ground. May there be those gracious encouragements granted by thee to them. And those, dear Lord, that feel to be at the ends of the earth, do help them to look unto thee. For thou hast said, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. And, O Lord, those that feel faithless and plagued by unbelief, we pray thou wilt come and remove all the unbelief that plagues them. Thou knowest how often the plague we are beset by it, Lord. And oh, we pray thou wilt grant us that grain of living faith to believe, that faith to trust in, that faith to look unto, that faith to truly believe that thou art our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. And oh, may those that are tried, Lord, be delivered from the trial, whatever that trial may be. But, oh Lord, may they be like dear Job and brought forth as gold in thy appointed time and way, who set at liberty all that are in bondage. Lord, thou knowest how bound many of thy dear children are, and how Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. But, O Lord, thou canst loose every soul in bondage. We pray thou would hasten the hour, and there may be those brought forth and be able to tell the king's household what a dear Saviour they have found, and be able to praise and bless thy holy name. Do soften each hard heart, Lord. Oh, how often we mourn because of the hardness of our hearts. And, oh Lord, may we know what Job did when he said, for God maketh my heart soft. And as the dear hymn writer, when he said, what can soften hearts of stone but the precious blood of Christ alone? O Lord, we seek for grace to be humble and tender before thee. And O Lord, do grant all needed grace that we might endure to the end, we may hold on our way, who make us steadfast and unmovable in the vital things of God, who come and prepare us for a vast eternity. O Lord, our days are fast ebbing away. We spend our years as a tale that is told. How we need thee to fit us and prepare us to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must thee work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe, and wash us in his blood, so shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, may that be the fervent petition of our souls, day in and day out, Lord. Remember the dear children, do bless them abundantly. And the dear babes, remember them each, Lord, with the favour thou bearest to thy dear people. And may they be raised up to be pillars in thy house in their dying generation. Do keep them from the world, Lord, and all its snares and dangers. And may they be raised up to follow on to know the Lord and seek earnestly his face. Do remember the dear young people. We pray that they may be given thy grace and fear to continually look to thee for needy guidance and direction, and that they may be abundantly blessed in their souls with those eternal blessings that are in Christ Jesus, who provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives, and are to supply their need in providence and in grace. Lord, we thank thee for safe deliverance of dear Hannah, and do bless her abundantly, and the dear babe, and Jeremy and the family. Remember them, Lord, in all their need and concern. We pray that thou would abundantly favour them with thy presence and blessing. And remember each of the dear families, and may they be continually looking unto thee, who alone canst do for them far exceeding abundantly than they can even ask or think. Remember those in middle age with all the burdens and cares, Lord, and troubles, afflictions, trials, difficulties. Help them, Lord, in all these things, to commit their way to thee and to trust also in thee. And Lord, do remember those in the evening time of life. May they prove thy sweet promise that at evening time it shall be light. We pray that thou would call by grace those in this village that as yet know thee not. May they be brought to know thee vitally and savingly. And may there be those yet to gather in thy courts here and to have sweet communion with thee and be raised up to be faithful stewards, faithful servants of thine. Remember, Lord, the church, and do add to them, we pray, such as should be saved. We do thank thee for all thou hast done, and we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt go on, thou mighty God, thy wonders to make known, till every sinner bought with blood shall trust in thee alone. And oh, do bless Zion too and our own flock. We pray for thee to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We would praise thee for all thou hast done, thy great goodness to us, Lord, in so many ways. And we would crown thee, Lord of all. We pray for a heart to love and praise thee more. Do remember those that have been married, Lord, in recent days. And we think of several, Lord, and those with us, and we commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace. May thy presence be their stay. May they be abundantly blessed together, and thy smile rest upon them. Who help the deacons and be with them, and grant them all needed wisdom and guidance and direction in all things. And Lord, do remember Zion still. We pray for thee to work, and there may be yet seen the wonders God alone can do. May all the crooked things be made straight, Lord, the rough places plain. And may we yet see thy hand appearing. And, O Lord, do make bare thine arm. And we would pray for this guilty nation, that thou would appear for us, Lord, to put thy fear and grace in our Prime Minister and in our government rulers, Lord, the cabinet and members of it and those in high places throughout the land. There may be once again a looking unto thee and a turning to thee and a looking away from man and man's opinion. And may there be those to acknowledge, Lord, that this terrible plague upon the land is all because of our sin. And may there be yet a gracious acknowledging of it and a looking to thee for mercy. Heal those in affliction's pathway if it's thy will, and sanctify these things. And remember our Queen and the royal family. May they be graciously taught of thee and set a right example in the nation. Remember all that are persecuted and oppressed throughout the earth, many in deep need, Lord. Oh, we do pray thou wilt supply all the need of thy children as thou hast promised. And may there be those brought to rejoice in thy great salvation. To anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. May we be the Lord's messenger this night in the Lord's message. And oh, do touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. Grant us that voice to speak, Lord, the hearing ear to thy dear people. And may there be those crumbs to fall from the Master's table. Empty send us, not away. Do make up in giving where we fail in asking. Forgive anything that we've uttered amiss and all our many sins, and help us to love and praise thee more. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Now sing hymn 1011. Hymn 1011. My God, the spring of all my joys, the life of my delights, the glory of my brightest days, and comfort of my nights. Hymn 1011.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and the latter part of verse 5. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, and the latter part of verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, and the latter part of verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. This is a very sacred and blessed chapter. In it is the wonderful commission that the Lord gave to Joshua to lead the children of Israel after the death of Moses. There's no doubt that it was a great weight and burden that had been laid by the Lord upon Joshua. Remember, Moses had wonderfully led the children of Israel through the wilderness up unto almost, as it were, the gates of Canaan. But he came, Moses did, to represent the holy law of God. But Joshua was to be a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus to take the dear people into the promised land of Canaan. And this is a very special chapter to me, because personally, when I was deeply exercised about the ministry and the burden of it got greater and greater, and then the dear pastor at Staples, the late Mr. Hammond, died quite suddenly, and dear Mr. Moody was asked to come that Lord's Day afternoon from Tunbridge Wells to preach, and he read this chapter, and I shall never forget it, you know, the power there was in it to my soul. And then he took for his text these words: Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. And I shall never forget how he commenced. He said, beloved friends, your pastor is dead. It's fact. But he said, the commission, and he said, there may be one here that this commission's for. Now therefore arise. And oh, the power that accompanied that word. That was in the end of May 1965. And the Lord wonderfully opened the door for me to go the second Sunday in February 1966. But you know, it's a wonderful thing to have things clear from the Lord. And really, you know, we should all seek for that. I know there will be those that immediately will say, well, sometimes we have to venture by faith, and that is true. And the Lord has wonderfully honoured those that do venture by faith. The old preachers used to say that venturing faith was the strongest faith. But it's wonderful when the Lord gives us a clear word. And whatever matter it may be, and I lovingly say it this evening, whether it's in a matter of providence or whether it is concerning our never dying souls or a step you may have to take, whether it be naturally or spiritually. A clear word. Well, here there was a clear word given in our text from the Lord to Joshua. And really it was a fulfillment of what Moses had spoken to him before his death. And in that, you can read at your leisure in that 31st chapter of Deuteronomy, there's that beautiful word the Lord gave Moses to speak, you see. And it wasn't just Moses, let's be clear in this, that spoke it, it was the Lord. And the text this evening was a wonderful fulfillment of that and a promise being confirmed by the Lord. And we read there in that 31st chapter, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And then this beautiful promise, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And you know, there's everything in that beautiful word that Joshua would need. And the Lord was to fulfill it in every detail. And if the Lord gives you such a word as that, he, poor soul, will fulfill it. Oh, he will. No word of the Lord will ever return void, but it shall accomplish that which he pleased and prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. Well, as help, let us briefly look a little at this word. As I was with Moses. You know, when the Lord gives his dear children a measure of faith, a little grain of it, faith will look two ways. Faith will look back, but faith will look forward. Oh, it will. And we find this beautifully set forth in this case, what the Lord said to Joshua, as I was with Moses. He could look back right the way through the life of Moses and see how the Lord had been with him. There was no doubt about that. As I was with Moses. I remember taking a baptising service at Ashwell of a dear soul whose godly father was deacon there and for many, many years was taken home in a relatively young life And I gave her that with this word at the pool, as I was with Moses, and I said to her, now you can look back and see how the Lord was so with your beloved father all the way through his life. And it may be there are those of us that are blessed with godly fathers or mothers, and many of them are now in glory. And we can look back and see how the Lord was with them, godly grandparents. And you think of Joshua here, a young man, this great burden upon him. He could look back how the Lord had been with Moses. And faith will look back. Oh, it will. It views time past. You see, the hymn writer says, doesn't he, in that, I think it's that 226 hymn. It's beautiful language, really, of living. It sets time past in present view, brings distant prospect home of things a thousand years ago or a thousand years to come. So he could look back, you see. Now, let us bring it home to us. You look back in your life and experience this evening. Can you look back and see how the Lord's been with you thus far? And it's a wonderful, it's really humbling, you know, for the child of God to look back and see how the Lord's been with you in times of trouble, times of distress, times of deep affliction, times when he so favoured you and you've been able to feel his sweet presence with you. Let me remind you of two beautiful words that Moses had given to him from heaven, from the Lord, when the Lord first commissioned him to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. In that early part of the book of Exodus, what do we read? The Lord said to him this, certainly I will be with thee. There's no doubt, dear Moses looked at many things concerning his life and all what he had to wade through in the land of Egypt, the opposition from Pharaoh, and many things we could name. But how the Lord was with him in it. He wasn't alone in it. And that promise was to be fulfilled, you know. Certainly, I will be with thee. You may say, oh, but I've got so many things this evening that are uncertain. We live in an uncertain world. There are many things that are uncertain. But here was something for Moses that was certain. And that was the Lord was going to be with him. What does the hymn writer say? I love that couplet of the hymn. In thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I'm secure. Certainly, I will be with thee, Moses. There'll be a lot against thee. There'll be much that will oppose thee. But certainly, I will be with thee. But then, the Lord wonderfully was to confirm that. Later on in the book of Exodus, we read, don't we, that beautiful promise. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And really, that was a wonderful confirmation to Moses of what the Lord had said to him before. And here this word concerning Joshua was a wonderful confirmation of what the Lord spoke to him through Moses in Deuteronomy 31. As I was with Moses. Look at the certainty there. As the Lord speaks it to dear Joshua. As I was with Moses. And Joshua had witnessed it and experienced it and knew how the Lord had so been with him. So faith looks back, but then he looks forward. And our text contains it. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Maybe you come this evening, poor soul, and you may have been reading in the Word of God how the Lord was with Moses in so many places that he had to come into. But Lord, it's me. Wilt thou be with me? Wilt thou be with us? So I will be with thee. As certain as the Lord was with Moses, so certainly the Lord was to be with Joshua. Oh yes. And when this text dropped in, it made really soften my heart, because I thought, what a seal, you know, if the Lord speaks this to one soul here in Swavesey this evening. So will I be with thee. You may have many things before you that greatly exercise you, greatly concern you, whether they're in providence, whether they're in your soul, in the pathway, in the family. And you're so questioning how you'll fare in them. Well, in and of yourself, you cannot go forward in them, can you, in any way? But if the Lord speak this to you, it's a wonderful word to venture on with. So I will be with thee. Look how comprehensive that is. So I will be with thee. The Lord speaking, you see. And when he speaks such a word as this to your poor heart, it may melt you even with tears outwardly, and it'll melt you in tears of gratitude in your heart that he should speak such a word to a poor, unworthy sinner. Lord, you'll say, Lord, what, me? So will I be with thee. It's personal, you see. This was a personal word spoken by the Lord to a dear Joshua. And you know the Lord deals with every one of his dear children personally. Oh, he does. He knows their different circumstances, their different experiences, their different trials, the many things they fear, the many things that trouble them. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Our life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. Well, may the Lord seal such a word as this home to some poor soul tonight, as I was with Moses. Look at the certainty of it there. So will I be with thee. And if he's with you, poor soul, you've nothing to fear. Oh no. Let me just remind you of a few places in the Word of God where the Lord so was with his dear people. And particularly individually. We think first of all of Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. You look at all what they had to endure and be cast into that fiery furnace. But you look who was with them in it. They weren't alone in it, were they? The hymn writer said, and it'll be so often your exercise and concern, leave me not to walk alone. That'll be your prayer. And there in that fiery furnace, there was one like unto the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus himself with them in that fire. And if he's with you in the fires you have to go through, child of God, because you see, Joshua was to know, like Moses did, there were those fires, there were those deep waters to go through. But they wouldn't go through them alone. We think of that beautiful word in Isaiah 43. It's a very sacred word, really, which the Lord said, didn't he? When thou passest through the waters. And that second verse, when thou passest through the waters. There's an appointed time where the child of God will have to go through the fire and through the water. Will they be waters of affliction, waters of trouble, or waters of following the Lord in these sacred ordinances? When thou passest through the waters. Here again we have the wonderful confirmation of the word, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The path's not going to be easy, Joshua. But if the Lord is with you in it, it'll be well. But then you think of Daniel in the lion's den. Look how the Lord was with him. Why was Daniel in that lion's den? Well, first of all, because of the jealousy of those rulers. The jealousy. Okay, and it's as cruel as the grave. You often find where there's jealousy, it causes much trouble. And think of dear Daniel. The Lord had appointed him as prime minister of the land, and there were those that were so jealous of him, they wanted to destroy him. Cast him into the den. And the Lord permitted that he had to go in there. Oh yes. Sometimes, you know, the Lord permits that we have to come into fires, lion's dens. I remember preaching from that case of Daniel being in the lion's den at Ashwell many years ago, and there was a dear man that was visiting the chapel. he didn't regularly attend, but occasionally came from when he was in the area, and I preached on that, you know. And he said to me afterwards, he said, you know, Mr. Field, you had exactly the right text today. He said, you know, I'm in the lion's den. There are those out to destroy me. But you know, what did the Lord do for Daniel? The Lord was with Daniel in that lion's den. And what did he do? He said, my God has sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, that they cannot hurt me. And if the Lord's with you, poor soul, he can shut the lion's mouths. Will they be men? Will they be the world? Whether it be Satan? And he can shut it in a moment. I love that word, what Daniel said. And in my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they cannot hurt me. And they couldn't touch him, could they? One of the old preachers said years ago, he said, you know, Daniel was in the safest place he could ever be in that lion's den. The lions couldn't hurt him. Their mouths were shut. Those that cast him in, they daren't touch him for fear of the lions. He was in the safest place. And the Lord was with Daniel. Oh, he was. And you look how the Lord brought him up out of that den, just as he brought out the Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. Some of you may be in the lion's den tonight, or in the fiery furnace, or in the deep waters, but the Lord can bring you out. And if he's with you, he'll bring you out. And he'll bring you out in a wonderful way, and he will prosper you in your soul. You'll be able to say, like Hezekiah did, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. But then, just briefly, you think of the dear disciples when they were tossed around in the sea, in the ship. And where was the Saviour? Well, on one occasion we read he was on the shore and he came walking to them upon the sea. He came, he didn't leave them to perish, did he? But what I was thinking of was that occasion when he was in the ship with them, asleep with his head upon a pillow. They were afraid of the storm. You may have things you're afraid in tonight, but if the Lord's with you, poor soul, you need not fear those waves. You need not fear the sea. They feared. He didn't trouble the master, did he? He slept. He was all in his hand, and you see he arose and rebuked the wind, didn't he, and the waves. And oh, what a calm there was. When the Lord gives peace, no man can give trouble. You see, he calmed their troubled hearts, and he calmed the sea, and he calmed the wind. I thought as we travelled up in the wind this afternoon, I thought, you know, those disciples in that ship tossed around. But it was all in the Lord's hand, wasn't it? I must hasten. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee to help thee, to uphold thee, to strengthen thee, to support thee, to provide for thee. You see, everything you'll need, poor soul, is in the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. I love that word in Paul's letter to the Colossians. When he said this, it pleased the Father that in him, a precious Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And whenever the child of God is in need, they can draw from that fullness. And it will never run dry, child of God. Oh no. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Oh, may the Holy Spirit whisper that to you. And to me tonight, so will I be with thee. It's personal, you see. You'll say, unworthy me, Lord, yes, with thee. And then he says this, I will not fail thee. I will not fail thee. Man will fail thee. Your own strength will fail you. Your own ability will fail. All things that man does will fail. But those things the Lord does will never fail. I will not fail thee. The devil may be suggesting to you tonight, but you'll fail in this concern, you'll fail in this exercise, you'll fail in trying to follow in the steps of the Saviour. And we do. We fail continually. I often feel to be an utter failure. But I know this. When the Lord promises his dear children, I will not fail thee, he won't fail you. Oh no. What does the hymn writer say? The Christian's hope will never fail. Those things that are of God will never fail. Oh no. You think how it may be in some matter that you have to go into tonight or in the pathway and you feel to be failing in it. And the Lord brings us to feel we fail in many ways. And why does he bring us to feel that and teach us it? That we cannot lean on self. We cannot lean on any arm of flesh. We cannot lean on the things of time. They're all perishing. We must be wholly and totally and dependent upon the Lord. Leaning upon him. I love that case of the bride in the Song of Solomon, the spouse. When she was in the wilderness, we read she came up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved. She was leaning on one that had never failed her and would not fail her. Now let's look in your heart and mind tonight. Where are we leaning? The wise man Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Oh, to be found leaning upon the dear Redeemer. The soul that leans on him, well, he will never fail them. And you see, there were places that dear Joshua had to come into of crisis. And what shall we do in this matter? How shall we face all those enemies in the land of Canaan? All the impossibilities there were. Well, in and of himself, he couldn't, could he? You think of Caleb and Joshua, they were the only two of all those that spied out the land of Canaan that brought back, of the 12, that brought back a good report. And you know those two, the Lord never failed them, he didn't. Oh no. I will not fail thee. Look how comprehensive that is. I will not fail thee. And if the Lord tells you that tonight, poor soul, as you think of the unknown way and the pathway you're walking in and your soul and beset with sins and troubles, unbelief. But here's a word you can face the devil with. The devil said, oh, well, you go in this step or you go in that and you'll fail. And everything will fail round you. You can face the adversary with this. The Lord said, I will not fail thee. And you see, he got no answer to that. You can face him with that. It's what the Lord has said. And it will stand when everything else fails, poor soul. When I joined the church in 1963, the dear servant of God received me into the church, gave me that word which I read to you in Deuteronomy 31. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And you know, I've had to lean on that word many times, you know. This word here is something you can lean on, child of God. It's what the Lord has said. And, you know, there have been many times in the pathway where I prove that precious word, you know. And the Lord has never failed. In it all, I failed. If you're honest, you have to say, well, I failed too in many things, but what the Lord has said will never fail. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Joshua needed it, this word. He wasn't going to need it just for that day with the death of Moses. Let's be very clear in this. You won't just need it today. You're going to need it every step of the journey till the Lord takes you home. You'll need His sweet presence to be with you. You'll need Him to fulfill what He has said. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. It's a solemn place when we feel forsaken, isn't it? There are times where the child of God comes into that place where they feel like they did in Isaiah's day, where the church of God felt forsaken. And it's a searching place, you know. But here is the sweet answer to it. What the Lord has spoken. You may feel the Lord has forsaken you because of your sin. You may feel He's forsaken you because of your disobedience. You feel He's forsaken you because of your unbelief. You feel forsaken because of your backslidings. Then we could list a whole catalogue of things. But what do we read in Isaiah? For a small moment have I forsaken thee. You may say, oh, but it's been weeks, it's been days, it's been months maybe. For a small moment. Now, listen, it is but a small moment when you compare it to eternity. You think of the solemn case of those that are out of Christ, that perish in their sin, eternally forsaken. Hell will be their portion, yours and mine, unless we're in Christ, found in Him, once in Him forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. Those that never know the Lord will be eternally forsaken. You think how solemn. So when the Lord said to the church in Isaiah's day, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, it was but a small moment, though it may have been a couple of years or may have been more, or it may have been a few days, the Lord's a sovereign. But it's a searching place to be brought. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. But He didn't leave it there, did He? But with great mercies will I gather thee. See how wonderful that is. With great mercies will I gather thee. From that forsaken state, The Lord fulfills his promise, nor forsake thee. You may feel forsaken, poor soul. There may be one here tonight. You feel forsaken, I think the hymn writer said, and forlorn. I hear the lion's roar, but every door is shut but one, and that is mercy's door. What a mercy that is. Mercy's door is still open. And if the Lord whisper to your poor forsaken soul tonight as you feel forsaken, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You may say, well, such a wretch as I, Lord, such a poor worm of the earth. It's a word that the Lord was to seal home in the heart of dear Joshua, as I have said earlier, not just for that day, but for the days of his life, right the way through. And even as they went into the promised land and saw the giants, and maybe those of you got giants tonight, feel they're going to crush you. Destroy you. But poor soul, if the Lord is with you, he will not fail you. He'll give you grace to resist the devil. His grace will stand when everything else fails, nor forsake thee. And then just briefly, and I'll leave it. Be strong. What a commission it was to dear Joshua, wasn't it? Be strong. You may say, oh, but I'm so weak, I'm so feeble, I'm so poor. Be strong. It's a wonderful word that is, isn't it? Of encouragement to a poor, weak child of God. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. We think of that beautiful word, and I told you before, no doubt, and the Lord spoke it to me many years ago now, when I was in such weakness and felt to be sinking into despair. And the Lord spoke these words right into my soul, and I've never forgot them. Oh man, what he did to Daniel, greatly beloved. Fear not, peace be unto thee. And then listen, be strong, yea, be strong. And you know, when the Lord spoke that to me physically and mentally at that time, I was ever so weak. But as soon as the Lord spoke that, I felt the strength come in me. Oh, I did. Be strong. Be strong in faith. Be strong in seeking to follow the Lord. Be strong in being obedient to him. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Be strong. Joshua, all that's before you and leading this stiff-necked, rebellious people, be strong and of a good courage. Oh, he was going to need that, of good courage. And it may be tonight there are those of you that feel your courage has fled, but be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt they divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And then through this sacred chapter, how many times he speaks to, doesn't he? Only be thou strong and very courageous. In verse 7, and then too in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Look how comprehensive that is. Whithersoever thou goest. at home or abroad, on the land, on the sea, whither thou goest. There are many places where the real child of God has to go in their soul's experience and in their pathways, which the flesh doesn't like. But the mercy is this. It's the way the Lord would have us go, that he might be glorified, and that we may prove his faithfulness to what he has said. Now, don't forget this tonight, what the Lord has said, and it's not my word. I felt the Lord gave it to me very clearly to bring. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. It's something, poor soul, you can take back to the Lord and plead with him. Lord, thou hast said this, and thou alone canst fulfil it. Amen.
Services on Monday. Also on this Friday evening, now we have a prayer meeting for church members. Let us sing hymn number 11. Number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affection and bound my soul fast. In number 11.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor feebleties. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides. Lord, do forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.